Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. I'm Jim Samaria, and to my friends in Italy, I am Giacomo Samaria.
Okay. I won't give a shout out to Israel then.
Okay.
And once again, I am Mark Plotnick, Jim's co-host. Each week, Jim and I highlight a different theme from the greatest era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 1980s. But personally, I do enjoy grunge bands of the 1990s who channel the spirit and sound of classic rock.
You are so hip, Mark.
I know.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available on Amazon and at Black Circle Records up in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by that debonair rock historian, Mark Plotnick.
Did you say debonair?
Debonair.
My wife won't even go that far, but thanks. Today's show features the studio musicians known as the Wrecking Crew. They were a group of immensely talented L.A. studio musicians who performed any style of music. They played on so many hits of the 1960s and 1970s that it's difficult to know exactly how many.
You know, and Mark, it's also difficult to know how many different musicians were considered part of the Wrecking Crew. At first, they were known as the Click or the First Call Gang, but drummer Hal Blaine coined the name the Wrecking Crew because some of the older musicians from the Wrecking Crew thought that the young rock and pop stars were wrecking music.
Yeah, the young Turks.
Yeah.
Record producers like Lou Adler and Phil Spector admired their talent, versatility, and the ability to improvise. They also solicited ideas from the Wrecking Crew, and they used them frequently.
But, you know, sadly, these musicians rarely received the documented recognition they deserved because their names were never listed on the album sleeves. I mean, I never heard of these guys way back then. But their talent was more than often, but almost all the time, better at a higher level than those that they were recording for.
Well, you know, Jim, they're also known for the sight reading, something I can't do anymore. You have to be able to sight read. They were known for their work ethic and ability to play long hours, sometimes around the clock, and they earned and deserved a nice buck.
Yeah, they certainly did. Today we're going to play some of the pop, soul, and rock songs of the Wrecking Crew, but they also recorded theme songs for familiar TV shows like The Twilight Zone, which is a good one, Hawaii Five-0, and Batman. I wrote the first part of Batman.
Okay. As we talk about each song and artist, we will highlight one Wrecking Crew member who played on the featured song. Jim, your first song involves one of the best collaborations in the history of rock music. Let's get the good vibes going.
Well, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys was a song that musical genius Brian Wilson worked on obsessively. It was meant to be part of his Smile album, which never did get made back in the day. Of course, it was made much later. So Good Vibrations was only released as a single. At the time, it was the most expensive record to record, with about 90 hours of studio time, 70 hours of tape, and 12 Wrecking Crew musicians over the course of 2 months. So that's a long time. And the song was recorded in fragments in 6 different studios and then was all pieced together. A huge task with all of this going on inside of Brian's head. But Brian knew what he wanted, and the Wrecking Crew delivered. Some of the Wrecking Crew playing on the song were Hal Blaine on drums, Al DeLore on the piano, Al Casey on guitar, Jesse Elric played a phenomenal cello, especially at the end, and Larry Nechtel was on organ. Nechtel could play keyboards, guitar, and bass. And Mark, he played on songs by the Monkees, the Partridge Family, and even the Doors.
Wow.
Your favorite band.
Yes. And he also was a key member of Phil Spector's famous Wall of Sound, Love It or Hate It. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, well, too bad. I'm sure you're a big fan of this next statement I'm going to make. Nechtel was also a member of the band Bread. And Mark, you know their music. You know, Baby, I'ma Want You. Baby, I Need You.
Again, I'm not a big fan, but... anyways, don't quit your day job, Jim. You know, I'm always interested in piano players, a big one, but one of Larry's most memorable moments was his playing on Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
As I said, these guys could play anything, so they did. But back to the Beach Boys and their classic song, Good Vibrations.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her head. Gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. She's by my excitation.
You know, the Wrecking Crew played on so many albums by the Beach Boys, but most notably, one of the world's greatest rock albums of all time, Pet Sounds. Hey, Mark, how did the Wrecking Crew help out a group as talented as the Byrds?
I will tell you, but first, a little bit about the Byrds. In 1965, they released an electrified version of Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man, and with it, the folk rock movement took off. The song topped the charts in the U.S. and the U.K., It's also historic in other ways. According to David Crosby, it was the Byrds version that motivated Bob Dylan to transition his music from acoustic to electric. And it was actually one of four other Dylan songs the Byrds recorded.
You know, Mark, I read that despite the song's popularity that Chris Hillman was never a fan of the band's version. Is that true?
It's true. He felt it was too slick because the instrumentation was not fully in the band's control, and he was referencing the Wrecking Crew. In fact, only three of the five Byrds played on the song. Roger McGuinn was on vocals and 12 string, and Gene Clark and David Crosby harmonized. The remaining instrumentalists came courtesy of the Wrecking Crew, the most famous being a young keyboardist by the name of Leon Russell. McGuinn said that the Byrds' sound was rather raw when they formed, and management was not comfortable using them, so they felt that seasoned musicians would be a better choice. McGuinn was so nervous working with the Wrecking Crew that drummer Hal Blaine told him to go out, have a couple of beers, and relax. Here is the Byrds' 1965 version of Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, senses have been stripped, and my hands can't feel to grip, and my toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boot heels to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade onto my own parade. Cast your dancing spell my way. I promise to go under it. Tambourine man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there ain't no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following.
Leon Russell played on records covering every imaginable genre and artist. The term versatility doesn't do him justice. Leon arranged, produced, sang, wrote, and played piano and guitar. He was also a record company owner, a band leader, and a touring musician. And he won numerous music awards, and in 2011, Elton John inducted Leon Russell into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jim, your next featured act and song were responsible for the great migration of counterculture kids to California.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite all-time songs. It's the 1965 hit California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas, which was written by John and Michelle Phillips while living in New York, but it's about Michelle being homesick for her warm California. The song was originally to be sung by Barry McGuire of Eve of Destruction fame, with the Mamas and the Papas doing the backup vocals, but producer Lou Adler decided he liked their voices better for the song. Lou is right, as the record was not only a big hit, but a great new group was born. The Wrecking Crew musicians on the session were once again Hal Blaine on drums, Larry Netchdel on keyboards, Joe Osborne was playing bass, and guitarist P.F. Sloan, who was very influential in the making of the record.
Jim, I believe John Phillips played the intro on 12-string guitar, too.
Yeah, one of the few times that a group member actually played on a song. Back to P.F. Sloan, he felt that the song was a little tedious, being basically a 3-4 chord song, so he suggested using a Venture-style riff to pep things up. And it worked. You know, what the heck. Denny Doherty is taking lead vocals with Mama Cass, John and Michelle filling in the chorus. This song makes you dream of going to California.
It does.
All the leaves are brown.
California, California dreaming, I'm such a winner's day.
One last trivia. P.F. Sloan was also a writer, and he wrote You Baby by the Turtles, Secret Agent Man by Johnny Rivers, one of my favorites, and A Must Avoid by Herman's Hermits. You are listening to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and 24/7 on demand from anywhere in the world. Hey, Mark, up next, you have one of the most famous bands in the history of classic rock. But I understand they did not play their instruments. Is that true?
Well, it's a bit more complicated, Jim. After the Beatles starred in the 1965 movie A Hard Day's Night, the producers in Hollywood took notice. They placed a newspaper ad that read, Madness, Auditions, Folk and Roll Musician Singers for Acting Roles in New TV Series, Running Parts for Four Insane Boys. And that's the actual ad.
I believe it. I think it was something like over 400 people auditioned.
That's true. Stephen Stills was one. He was rejected. And they were thinking of building the show around the Love and Spoonful, but that idea was rejected. And then there were rumors that Charles Manson auditioned, but he didn't. In the end, they chose four lads. Two were actual musicians named Michael Nesmith and Peter Tork, and two were actors named Mickey Dolenz and Davy Jones. The show's executive wanted complete control of music publishing rights, so they kept a lid on Nesmith's and Tork's musical involvement, and they relied on outside people like the Wrecking Crew. But by the Monkees' third album, Nesmith and his mates demanded more musical control, and they got it. Today's song, Mary Mary, was an early Nesmith effort and was included on the Monkees' 1967 album, More of the Monkees. Among the Wrecking Crew musicians playing on the song was the Hal Blaine prodigy, Jim Gordon. More on Jim Gordon after we listen to Mary Mary.
Mary Mary, where are you going to? Mary Mary, can I go to? This one thing I would buy you.
I actually like that song. Let's talk a bit about Grammy-winning drummer Jim Gordon. He was a highly skilled and versatile drummer who could get several times the growing rate for his studio services. His resume of drumming credits is a mile long, but his most famous gig was with Eric Clapton. He was a key member of Derek and the Dominoes, and he contributed the famous piano coda that was added to the end of Layla. He was more than a drummer. He could play piano. He had strong compositional skills. But his life story is probably the most tragic in rock and roll history.
Up next, we've got Sonny and Cher's 1967 hit, The Beat Goes On, which was written and produced by Sonny Bono. Sonny's cool lyrics were about the current events of the time, but the music needed a little kickstart. So who did he call? He called the Wrecking Crew. Bassist Carol Kay, who was, by the way, Mark, the only female member of the Wrecking Crew, she told Sonny that the song, as written, had a weak-sounding bass line and something was needed to drive the song. So she suggested an elaborate bass line. Sonny agreed, and a hit single was made. It wasn't the first time Carol's creativity enhanced a song. Her ingenuity can be heard on the Beach Boys' California Girls and on over 10,000, man, recording sessions that she contributed. Brian Wilson once said this of Carol Kaye, "She was the greatest bass player I've ever met." But back to the song, besides Carol's famed bass line, you'll notice that Sonny and Cher never sing in unison. They always trade off lines, a style that was not often used back in the day.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on. The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee. La-da-da-da-da. Charleston was once the rage, uh-huh. History has turned a page, uh-huh. The miniskirt, the current thing, uh-huh. Goes on, the beat goes on. The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da. The grocery store, the supermarket. Uh-huh. Still keep on marching off to war. Electrically they keep a baseball score. And the beat goes on. The beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee, la-da-da-da-da.
Grandma's sitting in chairs and reminisce.
Boys keep chasing girls to get a kiss.
The cars keep a-going faster all the time.
And the usual all-star lineup of Wrecking Crew musicians played on The Beat Goes On, including Barney Kessel on guitar, once again, Jim Gordon on drums, and a gentleman named Mac Rittenbach played guitar, and he later became famous as Dr. John. And Mark, we got one more song to do on the first half. It's by the one-hit wonder band, The T-Bones. Tell us a little bit more.
Okay. Our next song is based on the 1965 Alka-Seltzer TV commercial, No Matter What Shape Your Stomach's In. And it was credited to a made-up band named the T-Bones, but it was the Wrecking Crew behind the music. The Wrecking Crew guitarist who played on that jingle single was Tommy Tedesco. Let's listen to No Matter What Shape. Over his four-decade career, Tommy Tedesco was one of the most recorded guitarists in the history of the music business. He can be heard on hundreds of hit songs in dozens of movies and TV shows, far too many to name, but here are a few. Bonanza, MASH, Batman, Field of Dreams, The Godfather, The Deer Hunter, and on and on. He also wrote a guitar instruction book. Actually, he wrote many books, taught guitar studies, and he wrote a column for Guitar Player magazine over a decade. He was a real underachiever. Stay tuned for part two of that classic rock show, broadcasting on WHRU-LP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.